Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Noble Rundown. We're doing a special treat tonight because tonight is our NBA free agent extravaganza. And with me, as always, we have Will, the voice of no reason.
Ha, ha, ha.
And Jason.
Hola. ¿Cómo está?
All right, y'all. So let's go ahead and get into it. So here we are. The NBA draft is over with. And I guess we're going to pick off from there, because from there we're about to dive into NBA free agency coming up on July 1st. So last week we talked about the NBA draft. There was speculation that the Pelicans might move up, and they might buy another pick, they might be active on draft day, but they went shopping and got themselves a new car. So Jason, what were your thoughts whenever you saw the Pelicans not only didn't trade up, but just waited for the draft to come to them?
Oh, it was fun. They didn't have to waste anything, any future assets or whatever, and they focused what we thought they were going to focus more on, which was free agency and getting veteran players in that could help now. So, but, I mean, the Tony Carr pick could be a nice little pick down the road. I mean, it could be a nice little role player. Not going to be a starter ever, I don't think. But, I mean, he'll be a nice role player for maybe a playoff team going, you know, the next 2 or 3 years. Hey, the six-man of the year that just got awarded was picked in the middle of the second round. So, just saying. Sweet Lou Williams.
So, Will, sell me on being positive about the Tony Carr pick.
Why are you asking me that question? I'm the one who hated the pick.
Well, I thought maybe you have taken the analysis and you've broke down the film and you have come to realize that we bought ourselves a solid car instead of a lemon.
So if our analogy is a lemon, then we got a lemon. I can't do it. shoot first, high volume scorers are not what the NBA is about today. I agree with Jason. Like, yeah, he could turn into a decent, you know, off the bench, instant offense type scorer guy like a Lou Williams or whatever. But I wouldn't count on that next year, and I wouldn't. If it happens, it'll probably be one of those things where it happens with another team. So maybe we get another second-round pick out of it when we trade him in a year or two.
I mean, that's all right. That's fine. So we didn't really shore up any positions of need. I'm guessing at best he might be a ninth best player on the bench. If Frank Jackson hurts his foot again. So the past 2 years, because I'm a member of the team, we didn't really do much through the draft. So the bulk of the team building is going to have to come through free agency. So to back it up, last year, the bulk of the team building did come through free agency. So Jason, as we sit right here, looking back on the season that the Pelicans just had, tell me, were your expectations for the season met, or did they just shatter them and you were there like pants down, shoes off, mouth open, like, I can't believe what I just saw?
Yeah, definitely pants are down, especially the first round sweep of the Portland Trailblazers. That was crazy, especially all – honestly, I saw them going to like a second round, but that was with Boogie healthy. Like, them not having Boogie, that changed everything expectation-wise. So, yeah, they exceeded expectations once he went down. I was like, okay, well, maybe it's an eighth seed and a bye-bye real quick, or just missed the playoffs. But no, they turned it on, traded for Nico, and made it to the second round, which nobody was going to beat Golden State. So, but that's, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, for me, watching as the season unfolded, I'm trying not to get too invested in them because they seem to always have the third quarter mental breakdown. Just for some reason, the third quarter just kicked them right in between the area where your butt starts and your front parts end. You know what I'm talking about? Just right there.
What?
So it was always hard for me to watch games. But then I started to get invested in the team, seeing as how they actually started working towards something. They started winning games. They started playing an exciting brand of basketball. And I actually thought, you know, I've been on here before saying how I think that the job that Gentry did was absolutely fantastic. So, we'll... Going forward, you know, the type of job that Alvin Gentry did this past season as a coach, on the grading scale, you know, the average grading scale that we all had when we were kids, what type of grade would you give Alvin Gentry for what he did this past season as head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably like a B+, which is, you know, a pretty good grade.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect when I say that. I think considering that you have one of the top two or three players in the league probably now, like Anthony Davis, probably the third best player in the league. Like, well, there might even be some debate about that. But definitely, I mean, absolutely a top five player in the league. And probably top four. You know, you expect maybe a little better than the second round if you just base it on that. But I think we also, most of us also realize that the talent around him isn't as good as it is, at least with the top two teams in the West, you know, being Golden State and Houston. So, all that being said, B+, pretty fair. And so, I think, yeah, this offseason, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight, this offseason is going to be huge to see if they can continue to put better, not just better talent, but guys who fit Davis well, and fit the scheme well, and can make this, you know, an even more well-oiled machine than it was at the end of this past season. I think that's the aim and the goal of this offseason, I would say.
So would you say that you're happy with the extension that the Pelicans gave him? I believe it lasts until the end of Anthony Davis's contract. So, you happy? You big mad about it? Well, tell me how you're feeling, Will.
Yeah, definitely not mad. I think anyone who's listened to me or read anything I've written before knows I'm a big believer in continuity, especially with a coach. And that unless the guy's just totally incompetent, which sometimes happens, obviously, but I definitely wouldn't describe Gentry that way, that you run it back, you know, at least a couple of times, give the guy a chance. And I mean, this was only his third season, so, right, third, I believe. Pretty sure that's correct. And they have started to build something, and they've started to build a culture where I think now they expect to win, and and all of that. And so, yeah, you give him a couple more years. Obviously, the goal long term is to keep Davis. And, you know, if you get to that point and things aren't looking up, then maybe you make a change. But for right now, I think it was the right decision.
Jason, I know you gave Alvin Gentry a lot of hell. I need to know, are you comfortable with it? Are you ride or die Alvin Gentry now, or are you still skeptical?
Man, see Alvin. I like him. Starting to turn around on him. But see, this is the thing. Like, he actually went out and realized his deficiencies as a head coach and went and got a world-class defensive assistant. And it showed very much so this season in that team's development. And I'd say if he can stay with, because obviously he has an offensive game plan that's great, that produces points like crazy. And he has the team now that can run perfectly. So as long as he has that defensive ace and nobody's stolen him from any other team, I think this team's still going to develop, and I think Gentry will be fine.
Yeah, I do too. I think that the compliment that, and I forget his name, that kind of shows you what type of homework that I did for this show,
yeah.
Is I forget the name of the assistant that we're all talking about.
Yeah,
but
Darren
it's
Irvin.
Darren Irvin. Mm-hmm. It was right there on the tip of my tongue.
What is
but
it?
Aaron Herman?
Darren
yeah.
Irvin.
Darren Herman. Darren Herman.
Yeah, Baron Herman.
Y'all suck.
Yeah, this Darren Irvin. Everybody out there for the cheap seats for Mr. Deeker.
Yeah, Darren Irvin. He went to Emory, so he drinks beverages with his pinky out.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But so I've seen that teams have tried to actually poach him from the Pelican staff to say, hey, you want to come be an assistant coach over here? And we just hung up on him. So that's good. Like, as long as he's there, he's the yin to Alvin Gentry's yang. He's the resurrection to his hand grenade. You know, like they're just complementary of one another.
Yep.
So going forward now, as we approach free agency, we've got a lot of questions coming up. So the biggest one facing the Pelicans starts at zero, and that's Boogie Cousins. So I'm kind of on the fence about re-signing Boogie. You know, I like him as a player. I think he's outstanding as a player. But at the same time, that injury concerns me, and it concerns me a lot because the data shows that players that have torn their Achilles don't really bounce back, especially big men. And there's somebody now in the league, Jabari Parker, who is came off a torn Achilles, and he certainly has not been the player he was before he went down.
Mm-hmm.
So, with all that being said.
And he's younger, too. So you would think he would recover even quicker.
Right. I mean, I know how it was when I was young. I could grow Achilles without even trying. But as I got older, things didn't quite grow as long. We're not talking about Achilles anymore.
Since when?
So, Will, I know you have at least a thought on this. If you're the Pelicans front office and you have to make the decision, what are you doing about Boogie?
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like, first of all, you can't separate, you know, one move from all the others. So, obviously, there's a whole host of dominoes that are going to come about just in the NBA in general. I know we're going to get to this in just a minute, but you know, obviously kind of the first and foremost thing of everything is what happens with LeBron. And that kind of sets everything else up in, you know, in motion. And I'm not going to touch on that from the Pelicans' perspective yet, but just, you know, that has an impact on every team in the league. You know, and where he goes, then you're figuring out, okay, what's our move in response to that? So I think in an ideal, like the ideal situation, I believe, for the Pelicans would be that the Lakers, you know, miss out on LeBron. They miss out maybe on Paul George, because, of course, both those guys have to decide by Friday if they're going to opt in or opt out of their player options for this next year. You know, and maybe, you know, San Antonio just decides, like, hey, we don't care if Kawhi wants a trade. We're gonna keep him no matter what, even if that means that, you know, he sits out for us or, you know, whatever. And so maybe the Lakers end up, like, totally shut out. And now they're desperate because they have all this cap room and they've been saving for this offseason. And maybe, you know, Boogie becomes like a super enticing piece for them at that point. And maybe you can work a deal for, I don't know, maybe Brandon Ingram and, I don't know, maybe Kyle Kuzma or something like that. So that, like, that would be, in my opinion, absolute best case scenario would be if, you know, if the Lakers end up desperate, or another team, maybe like Dallas is desperate. They have a lot of cap space. And maybe you're able to work out something there in a sign and trade type situation. Second best scenario in my mind is you just let them go and you don't really care if you get anything else back, but you free up that cap space for yourself, to work out, you know, other contracts and other things. And then, you know, it's not worst case scenario, because it's still a good scenario, but, you know, but that last scenario being maybe you sign him to a 1 year, prove you're healthy type of deal, and hopefully you get a good, you know, January through end of the season with him. So that would be kind of my priority levels and hope levels with this Boogie thing, with the idea being, obviously, I'm not too inclined to keep him unless that actually turns into your best option after, you know, a couple of weeks or whatever.
So, you know, we mentioned the draft earlier, and one thing that stood out to me is, as I'm watching it, I'm paying close attention to what the Dallas Mavericks do, because they've been the team that has been, I guess, more closely associated with Boogie than any other team out there. Uh-huh. So I'm seeing what they're doing, seeing what type of seeing if they're going to get Mo Bamba, they didn't. Seeing if they're going to draft a center, they didn't. So all their moves, to me, Jason, they seem to line up with bringing Boogie in. Now, like, I feel like Boogie's going to want to go to a contender, but with the possibility of Boogie leaving, like, how are you feeling? Do you think that it's absolutely necessary for them to bring Boogie back, or do you think you explore a sign and trade with, say, Dallas? Jason.
Oh, me. Sorry. So you're directing that to Will. I'm actually was as you were speaking, I was pulling up Dallas's roster to see, even suggest a sign and trade. But here's the thing. There's better. Like, if you really want to go this route and you wanna play that, whatever, you're going to have to see if it's worth getting a return back, because you gave up a lot to bank on Boogie. And just looking at what they would have to offer, especially cap-wise, they would probably have to include, I would think, a Dwight Powell, that his cap hits pretty high. He's a forward center. You'd have to base it around either him or
Harrison Barnes.
Get that so keep that salary far away from me.
Yeah, I would. If I'm Dell Demps, I don't want to take that.
That's like a $24 million a year.
I'll take the Dwight Powell salary, and I'll take a first rounder from him, and I'll take I'll take Doug McDermott as a eighth, ninth guy off the whatever.
Yeah, that's actually kind of. What you just said kind of matches up with what I was thinking, but if you were to do a sign and trade with them, it would have to be with like a Doug McDermott and like a Dwight Powell and a pick for Boogie. I mean, it's pennies on the dollar, but you're at least getting something in return.
That you get that, and then you go after Montrezl Harrell or Derek Favors in free agency to kind of supplement that loss. I think Montrezl Harrell will be my guy. I know we haven't segued there yet, but that would be my guy.
You're just a real high-energy dude.
Well, just I'm doing a little digging because I know Beaker over there loves the advanced stats, so he'd probably really love Harrell if he looked up his per 36 minutes, because he only averaged 17 minutes with the Clippers this year, but just averaging 17 minutes per, his per stat, his little player efficiency rating was higher than Clint Capella, Jokic, Chris Paul, Whiteside, Cantor, Jimmy Butler, Oladipo, Joel Embiid, Boogie. And then when it translates to per 36 minutes, he averages 23 points a game, 8.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 1 steal, 2 assists. Like, his per 36 minutes translate really well if you can get somebody on a cheap like this and put him next to AD. I think he'd do really well. If you got to go like a last-minute sign and trade to get Boogie out of here because he wants to go to Dallas, like backup plan. Or even not even a backup plan. You could get him, and if you flip Nico for a first-rounder, or keep them all. Who cares? You can make it fit. Dell can learn from Mickey. He can make it fit.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the trades that I'm looking at, like, they're destinations that you don't really want to ship Boogie off to because he's probably going to be unhappy about it. But you also have to look at what's best for the team. So I don't know what you're going to get in return just because of what he's coming off of. But I think a good situation that he could possibly go to would be like the Orlando Magic. And seeing if you can pry, like, an Evan Fournier from them. Or I'm sure you can get Jonathan Simmons and maybe, like, Aaron Gordon or...
Or thing like this. What if you send
or
him...
Or Bismack Biyombo or somebody like that.
Yeah. But what if you send them to the Clippers? Just send them to the Clippers. Get DeAndre back. And say you grab Sweet Lou back. Just 2-for-1. You get DeAndre's you got his expiring contract. That's a plus. And then you get Sweet Lou, he's on a 2 or 3 year extension, but he's still a great player. You can think about, because the Clippers need a new identity. And Boogie loves the spotlight, even though he does love to be in the South. It's just different things you can sit here and think about. Who knows?
Yeah, like
anybody's going.
Right. There's a lot to do. So whether they keep them or not, if they can offer him a higher max than other teams if he stays in New Orleans. And then it also depends on how comfortable teams feel offering him. So another position that the Pelicans need to look at, too, is small forward. Right now, Solomon Hill is the starter. The position was kind of a black hole all year. What do you do with small forward? And I know that I mentioned this billboard a show or two ago, and it was just like a Photoshop, but apparently they legitimately unveiled a LeBron, Tom Roulet billboard in Metairie somewhere. So if you've got AD, if you've got Drew, and you re-sign Boogie, can you bring LeBron James in? And if so, do you want to bring LeBron James in, Will?
Well, I mean, you don't get LeBron and Boogie. Like, that's not happening. That's definitely not happening.
Not with that attitude.
I mean, if you could somehow reel LeBron down to the Crescent City, you know, it's bye-bye Boogie. And if I'm the Pelicans, I do that 100 times out of 100. You know, I mean, and any team would. Like, you get LeBron James, like, the Pelicans would be the favorite to win the NBA Finals if it was their current roster minus Boogie plus LeBron. Like, they're even money to win the finals, right? Like,
can you imagine those finals with, say, I know we haven't got there about bringing Rondo back, but say just Rondo,
right,
Drew, LeBron, AD, and Mirotic against
Golden State. That would be insane. Like, what a, yeah. That would be absolutely insane. So, in the pipe dream scenario where the Pelicans have a chance at LeBron, you do that 100 times out of 100 and you don't even think twice. You let Boogie go, no big deal. That's not going to happen, though. Don't get me wrong, like, that would be, from a basketball perspective, strictly speaking, that would be one of the most sensical decisions for LeBron. But I don't know. At this point, honestly, I'm convinced he's staying in Cleveland. So I don't even think it's an option. If you can do it, like, if he does leave that door open and you can say, like, hey, you and AD and Drew make some magic, like, yeah, you do it.
So, Jason, does hope spring eternal with you here? We see that Will's the eternal pessimist and never has a glass half full. Do you think there is still hope that maybe LeBron decides to eschew the money from Cleveland and the money probably that Brooklyn's going to toss at him, take a little less, and come go win a ring with AD and Drew?
Man, let me tell you this.
LeBron James.
That man is coming to New Orleans if he knows what's good for him. And he's going, what happens is, you see, it doesn't matter how much money you give Boogie, technically, because you can sign him still, even if you have no cap room, because you have that little whatever deal is in the collective bargaining agreement. So you can sign him, you can sign LeBron, and you can have Rondo with the mid-level exception, and you can have Rondo and Drew and LBJ and AD and even Boogie's big ass recovering. And he can recover slowly because you can run out of nether
starting roster of Rondo and Drew and LeBron and Nico and AD at the five. And you can let Boogie rest. Let him chill. Let him get his feet back under him. Then you use the Nico contract, that expiring one. You flip that for assets, man. Or you flip that for a little breathing room on a tax, on a luxury tax. Either way, with that kind of team, it doesn't matter what you're paying in luxury tax because you're going to make it back so much with sellouts and merchandise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just
so. So let's live in Will's world for a minute and say that LeBron James doesn't come to New Orleans. And we're all bummed out. We're all drinking. Well, we'd be drinking anyway, but we're drinking more because LeBron James isn't coming. Who is going to get you excited? Who do you think the Pelicans have a legitimate shot at getting to come play small forward? Assuming that they trade away Solomon Hill to whoever wants to give us a bag of Skittles in return.
Yes!
Who do you want playing small forward next year for us, Jason?
Oh, man, the ideal pick, if he could come cheap and its name's not rhymes with LeBron. Let's see. My initial pick would be Mr. Jabari Parker. But
so you want two dudes coming off Achilles injuries playing on the team.
Yeah, no, all day. That's what I'm saying. They can talk to each other. They can slap hands all day. Whatever. But
yeah, and I mean,
instead of going
we
that,
have just a great medical department, too, you know? I mean, that,
yeah,
that makes a lot.
Yeah, give a bunch of Oshner. Get out of here. Oshner does things with things and things.
I do.
Look,
now that the medical staff isn't, like, just hot trash, they might have something going now.
Hey, they fix things now. It's okay. So what they're going to do is they're going to not go after him because they don't like to spend all the money on Achilles work if they got Boogie there. So how about they go after Joe Harris from Brooklyn for your three because, you know, Jerk from San Antonio decided to opt in Mr. Green. I don't like him anymore. So Joe Harris, he's a little, you know, mid-20-year-old shooter from BK. So, I mean, he developed really well. And you can play him with a three. He can be a nice fourth option, fifth option, especially fourth option if Rondo's on your court. You don't want Rondo shooting the ball. You know, you don't want him. That's like, if you put him and Draymond and you throw, like, Ben Simmons and Lonzo Ball out there at the three-point line, who hits more threes? And how long are you going to stay there and watch that shit? Because it's going to take hours, but I'm going to hit 10 at least.
Except Lonzo is actually a good shooter, but, yeah, I get your point. Put it this way, he was at UCLA. He was a good shooter. I know he didn't shoot as well this year, but he's a good shooter.
Oh, you don't know what the meaning of good means. Oh. I'm sorry.
So Will, who's your number one bay when it comes to playing small forward next year for the Pelicans? Who do you have hard eyes for?
Yeah. So the more I went down the entire. NBA
I bet you did go down on it.
Wow. The entire free agency list. And there's a lot of big names. Here's what I would do if I'm the Pels. And I think cost-wise you can make this work. I think you can, especially if you're able to trade Solomon Hill and maybe whatever his name is, the Frenchie.
That's fine.
Ajinsa. If you can get rid of those two contracts, I know you can make this work. And in the process, you can weaken Houston, which is, and I also want to propose another way to do that in a little bit. But you got two ways that you can weaken Houston. One, you can sign Luke Richard and Mbamute, and he can be your starting small forward D guy, you know, who plays probably 20, no more than 24 minutes. And then you get a guy that I've had a crush on forever, like since he entered the league, because I love Eastern Europeans, Mario Hezonja from the Magic. And he's your three-point shooter who couldn't shoot in Orlando because Orlando is the worst-run organization, and they literally sap, like, all the talent out of every player there. But he'll be at least moderately better in New Orleans. And so you have a two-headed monster at the three. You take what was a weak position, and now you make it really strong. And you have depth.
So I do like that idea. And I think that Mbamute, or however you pronounce his name, I know who he's called. I've always liked him as a player. I like where your head's at in regards to the Eastern European fella. So I think that could work. You know, I also like Thaddeus Young as well. I think he's a guy that the Pelicans could bring in. Same thing with Ersan Ilyasova. I've always liked him. Played with the 76ers this year. Duke can space the floor. And even your boy Montrezl Harrell. There's a lot of guys out there that I think can really make an impact if they're given opportunities.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for small forward. I know we're kind of looking at big fellas, but
well, you were. I was looking at small forwards.
But you know, like a couple of guys that weren't mentioned. You know, Paul George is out there. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that he's going to go to the Lakers. But some guys that I like that we didn't mention are Rodney Hood and Will Barton. And even like a Trevor Ariza and bring him back. You know, he's kind of like a 3-and-D kind of player that would also weaken Houston a lot.
Yep.
I think the two most intriguing players, I think, that are available for a small forward, I'm going to start with Rodney Hood. You know, he was lighting it up in Utah. He went to the Cavs and just didn't fit that culture, didn't fit around LeBron, didn't fit around the coaching staff. I think the atmosphere in New Orleans is a lot more structured. I think the coaching staff has a little more hands-on with player development. I think he could really thrive down in New Orleans. So that would be my number one target. And then I think it would then go like Will Barton, then Mario Hezonja, and then probably Rudy Gay. I would like to see Ariza come back. I just don't see him leaving Houston, not with what they did this year. You know, if CP3 doesn't go down hurt, you know, they probably take out the Dubs. So if you can't get a small forward, say all of them are snatched up, do you then just try to and go sign shooters, or like just load up on shooting guards and have them play the three? Jason, like, do you get guys like Danny Green and maybe even bring Tyreke Evans back and just run with run them out there and maybe have Drew run the point and then have Danny Green out there playing the three and Tyreke playing the two with AD out there and Mirotić out there?
I think this offense just needs more shooters. I don't think it needs to worry about a position as much as this offense just needing more more shooters. And honestly, you can go grab who you had a couple of years ago in Steph's brother, Seth Curry, and you go grab him from the Mavericks because he was getting pretty good in Dallas, so he had a little injury. Or if you want to get, I mean, you suggesting Will Barton and players like that, they're going to be priced out. And I'm saying that, and I'm suggesting LeBron James, but like they're really going to be priced out unless you move Solomon Hill, unless you move Etwan Moore. Like then you have no cap space unless you move those two contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you move those two contracts, like what are you getting after that? Like what are you going after? If you're moving those two contracts, that's going to clear. If you can move those contracts to teams that have the cap space that can flip it for picks or just future picks, and you can clear out about $20 million in space, then you can go get, say, a combination of a Will Barton, an Aaron Baines, a Fred Van Fleet for your backup point guard. I mean, or you got Fred Jackson coming up. I mean, maybe he's ready. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen in summer league and what's going to happen in preseason. But, I mean, you could take that $20 million to players that Solomon Hill is not going to contribute, not in this offense, and Etwan Moore is replaceable. And Will Barton's an upgrade over Etwan Moore. So there's other ways you can use that money and get those lesser-known players that'll contribute in this offense.
So I like all those points that you just made. So, Will, can you badmouth any of what Jason just said? Because I can't.
I'm not going to badmouth anything he said.
You're just going to condescend it?
Well, I'm just going to give my own opinion. Yeah, so, I mean, the Pelicans for the last, I think actually the whole season, if I'm not mistaken, at least most of it, I mean, they were starting three guards. And so you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Position no longer matters in the NBA. There are no such thing as positions. Really, you're just getting your five best players out there, and then you're having them match up against, you know, whoever the best matchup is for them individually. And then you're switching everything anyway. So, I mean, and that's something that most people like within the NBA talk about now is it's a positionless league. So positions don't matter. So you're right. So with that being said, yeah, say you can't get like a traditional small forward, that long 6'9" wing guy, for a quote-unquote small forward position. Now, I think you look at bringing in J.J. Redick. I mean, if he doesn't re-sign with Philly, he's the best shooter in basketball probably of at least of guys who will be available. And why wouldn't he want to come here? I mean, he wants to win. He's at this point in his career, he's a team guy who just wants to win. He might even take a little off the deal in order to play around Davis and Drew and Nico, and that gives you a knockdown 3-point shooter and a guy who's actually an underrated defender at this point in his career. Danny Green's another guy I love, and those are both good defensive wing players. And Danny Green can knock down the three.
Danny Green picked up his option though; he's off the board.
Oh, did he? Okay. Well, all right.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then you can go out and you can go after another guy in San Antonio, who's a restricted free agent, but you can weaken the Spurs some more in Kyle Anderson. And I know he hasn't necessarily put up big numbers there, but he's a guy who still is really young and has a lot of potential. So maybe, you can make the Spurs a little weaker.
Let me ask you something about, what about Jeremy Grant from Oklahoma City. He's being compared to like an up and coming Draymond in the way that not with his attitude, in the way that he's a smallish power forward that can guard
yeah.
like three positions from 3 to 5. And
yeah.
he's probably they can't afford him in OKC.
Right.
So he's gonna be out there to be had. So and his advanced stats are pretty eye popping per 100 possessions. Like he's like a 20-point scorer, 10-point rebounder, you know, 20 and 10 guy per 100 possessions, and his per is among the best of free agents out there. Like, you know, so I mean, why not give him a look? He came in the league as a small forward, but he played 75, 80 games at power forward this year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean that's an awesome. Yeah, certainly an awesome, and yeah, he's only at the end of this season, he's only 23 years old. So, I mean, certainly there's probably some more upside there. That could be a possibility. I'm not sure if it's necessarily a great fit per se, but I mean, yeah, if you're just if you're trying to weaken another team.
I think a better fit would be Kyle Anderson from the Spurs, but he's restricted.
Right. Well, that gets to another thing I wanted to bring up, and this was one of the other ideas I had. And it's dangerous because if the teams don't match, then you're locking yourself in. But yeah, why not put in an offer sheet for Kyle Anderson? Why not put an offer sheet in for Clint Capella and make the Rockets pay?
Use that money.
Yeah, use that money and so that they can't do anything more. And if they don't match it, then you get Clint Capella, and nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would take that. I think we'd figure the rest out from there. I mean, you can. If you get a guy like that, you figure it out, and if you don't, then yeah, you make it harder, and maybe your reward is an Ariza or a Luka Mbamute or whatever. So I mean, I think that's another thing that you don't hear talked about a ton, but especially with restricted free agency, like why not make some of your rivals use up their cap space and see if you can benefit from it somehow.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I guess using a free agency smarter, not harder type. And I do think with all the possibilities that we're talking about, like if for some reason the Pelicans can't get Rodney Hood, I'd love to see him double down at shooting guard because, like Jason said, like I've said in previous podcasts, you can't have enough shooters. I'd love to see them bring in, like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and I'd also like to see him bring in Will Barton. If they can't get Will Barton, then I'd like to see Wayne Ellington come in. The dude's, like, just shooting 39% from three-point range. Like, it's
– yeah.
That's really, really good. And his 2-point percentage is 48%. Like that's really good too. And I guess
you know who's out there?
If
Marco Bellinelli's out there.
Yeah. But if I could have any two shooting guards and they just say like Jordan, who do you want? I'm like, these two dudes. And it'll happen. I want Tyreke Evans coming back, and I want Avery Bradley on the team.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a pipe dream.
I don't want either of those guys.
Shit. I'd take Avery Bradley all day, every day.
Neither of them can shoot. Especially Tyreke. Tyreke can get you something going to the rim, but, I mean, man. Like,
first
that's
off,
the off-putter.
There's
Bradley.
There's there's only three players that have averaged at least 19 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, and 5 assists per game last season while shooting over 39% from three. Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, and Tyreek Evans.
And Tyreek Evans.
And Mr. Tyreek Evans. Put some respect on his name.
Probably the first time he shot 39% from three in the league, isn't it?
Excuse me, Larry Bird.
Your boy Avery Bradley don't look good for these advanced stats, man.
No, he don't.
Nope.
No, he don't. Career 36% three-point shooter. Career 47% from two. Averaging 12
games.
I don't
know how you put that. 47 from two. Oh, man. Look, if you get Avery Bradley on your team, that means you're going to have four other shooters. Ooh, I can't talk. Four other shooters on the court at that time. So, but his defense is ridiculous.
That's more why I like Avery Bradley, is you're going to need someone to clamp down on Stephen Curry, James Harden, and Avery Bradley can do that job. You know, he's one of the best defensive guards in the league. So why not try to go out and get him? You don't need, like, nothing but sharpshooters that can't really defend all that well. So that's why I like those two. But I'd take a combination of them. Like, if I could get Tyreek again and Will Barton, I would definitely do that. Or Tyreek and KCP, I would definitely do that.
You know what else?
Kind of looking out, we're gonna look inward to ourselves and have some self reflection. Will, what do you do about your own free agents? Because right now there's only one point guard on the team, and that's Frank Jackson, if you're not including Drew Holiday as your point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Rajon Rondo is a free agent. Ian Clark's a free agent. How do you prioritize both of those players whenever it comes to signing free agents?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said, like, you have to look at everything kind of holistically and collectively. unless there – and part of the reason I went down the list was to see, are there any younger versions of Rajon Rondo that you can bring in who may be more cost-effective? I didn't find anybody. Because I do think, like, I think he was as much of a reason for the Pelicans kind of taking off, especially in the playoffs, as anyone else, as compared to the year before. I feel like if you can, so long as he's not demanding, you know, something above the, like, the mid-level exception, you got to bring back Rondo. Ian Clark's another guy, you know, that Ian Clark's your Lou Williams that you already have on the team, you know? And I think he could even have an expanded role and maybe, you know, become that to an even greater extent. And then, you know, with those three guys, and if you get anything from Frank Jackson and or Tony Carr, your point guard spot is fine. You know, I mean, you got three or four point guards, and that's more than you need. So, you know, one thing I do like about the way the Pelicans, you know, have kind of composed their roster, if you will, is that there's a lot of position flexibility, especially at the guard spots. And you don't even really need, like, there's no such thing as a point guard in today's game anyway, kind of like I said. So those two guys, I feel like with their ability to do different things, Clark can score. Rondo's just a great floor general and great lob guy, great pick and roll guy. Yeah, I want those two back almost at all costs, unless it's just too exorbitant.
I know that you're a big fan of Ian Clark last year, Jason. Where does he rank in your priorities? Like, does he rank above Rondo? Does he rank right there with Rondo? Or are you prepared to let Rondo go general another team? Or do you want him back? Give me your thoughts on this, man.
Man, you need Rondo back. You want him in that hole, and you need him in that hole. Okay?
That's what she said.
Yeah, and you know it. I set you up and you spiked it. So, you need him in there, okay? Because he will a Rondo who is focused on winning a championship is the best Rondo you can hope for, because he's focused and he keeps every other one around him focused. And that elevated everybody towards the end of the season and into the playoffs. And you saw that the year before with that Chicago team. Like playoff Rondo is no joke. So that Rondo Boogie is your priority. And then Rondo, and then I'd say Clark right behind it. Like, Clark is your third, and then getting rid of those nasty contracts from Hill and Moore. But Clark is just as important, because if you sign Clark back, you can more than likely use him as your backup point guard into the season and slowly, have Frank Jackson come along, or, have Tony Carr as your third point guard. I mean, he's more of a two guard in my opinion, but like in today's NBA, it's more guards, wings, and bigs. There's no other really, like, 1, 2, 3, 5, So I'd put Clark up there, right up there with Rondo and Boogie, because he's on your second unit, and you need a solid second unit in this league. Because you're not going to beat any of those teams that you're going after with just 4 or 5 players. You got to go 8 or 9 deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree. Like, yeah, I feel like Rondo and Clark, they're priorities. I almost feel like you bring them back first for a risk of losing them, and then you see what you can do with Boogie and everybody else. Because with Boogie, if another team's throwing them money that you're not comfortable with, then you're going to do a sign and trade and try to get something in return, no matter what it is. But with Rondo and Clark, you're not really looking that way to do something like that. So,
right.
Plus, say too that if you miss out on them too, like the market behind Rondo is like Isaiah Thomas and Elfrid Payton. Those are two of the better ones, and I don't mind either one of those as players, but Rondo just brings much more as a floor general, as a like the captain of the assist, and as an extra coach on the court. He's not going to get you much buckets, but what he does to the team while he's on the court is what you're paying him for, and he gives you that in spades.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the other thing we haven't really talked about with Boogie too is, I feel like most likely nothing's going to happen on him probably till August anyway. Like, I feel like, that's a move that's going to happen later on in the off season, because teams are going to want to wait and see how he's recovering from that injury before they make any kind of decision on him.
Yeah, definitely. So all that being said, we're bucking up on the 1 hour mark. So what I want to know from y'all, and I'll start with you, Will, and we're just going to kind of work our way around, doing a little around the horn thing, and going to put a little pretty bow tie on this show with Man Crush Monday following this. But
yep.
After free agency settles, the dust has settled, the teams are set for next year, what does your version of the Falcons look like, Will?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you've, I mean, obviously, we've talked about a lot of different possibilities. Certainly, I think starting five would be Rondo, Drew, and then for me, yeah, it would be Luke Richard and Mbah Mute, and being, I guess you could start Nico at the four and Davis at the five, or you could have Nico come off the bench like they did for parts of last year. You have Ian Clark coming off the bench as kind of that combo guard. And then, yeah, like I said, Mario Hezonja coming off the bench as a shooter, you know, wing guy. And, you know, there you're seven or eight deep because you probably have either Frank Jackson or Tony Carr at one of the other guard spots. And then, yeah, after that, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you have to strengthen that, you know. You need eight solid players for the playoffs. And it really, if you're playing more than eight guys in the playoffs, you're probably in trouble anyway. So, you know, maybe that's a JJ. Maybe it's a bigger guy. You know, if it were Capella, like, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, something like that. There's so many, you know, so many possibilities at this point that it's hard to really nail something down concretely and firmly. But I think we can say pretty definitively what we want to have our starting five and then at least some of the key bench guys to be in. And those would be mine.
So what's your...
Yeah, so mine is Rondo at the 1-2. Filling that 3 is not Luke Mbamatu, who can't shoot for anything. Why would I want him on a team? Honestly, at the 3, because I'm at 4 and 5 is AD and Boogie, because I'm seeing Boogie come back. At the 3 for me would be Rodney Hood. With his restricted status, I'd see that more as a wish than it actually happened. So I'd probably say at the 3, I'd like them to go after Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and you put him, and he'd be starting at your 3, and then your 3 reserves, like Will was saying, like I would have stuck to either 8 or 9, but I would go get Aaron Baines as your backup big. You got Nico, and I'd go get either re-sign Clark, or if you can't re-sign Clark, you go get Will Barton as that combo guard, and there's your 3. And maybe you can have Nico play a 3 in a pinch off the bench, but I'd say your backup. I love Aaron Baines. I didn't get to really mention him earlier, but he's been great off the bench with Boston. He's not really a starter. He can start at the 5 if you want to put AD at the 4 in a pinch, but I think he's your backup big getting off the bench, unless you go with Montrezl Harrell. But, he's more of a power forward. I mean, there's no positions. I get it. But I would want Baines more in this offense than Harrell.
and that would be like my eight going into the season. And then you'd have all, you'll fill out with Frank Jackson and, you know, all the fluff around it.
So, I think mine would be, you know, you got Drew Holiday, Nico Maritich, Anthony Davis. As I said earlier, you got to re-sign Rondo. You got to re-sign Ian Clark. I think you trade Solomon Hill for whatever you can get. We were talking on the chat, and I like the idea of trading him back to Indianapolis for Al Jefferson. I think that's something that we talked about. And so there's your big. And obviously my scenario doesn't have Boogie. And I think that they trade him away to Orlando and get Jonathan Simmons and somebody else is going to be involved in that trade. And like I said, I think Simmons is definitely going to be on the block and available more so than Evan Fournier. I think Fournier is definitely a guy that they're going to build their team around. So, I'm going to go with, because there's got to be a second player there. I'm just going to go with, Shelvin Mack is a point guard. So, you got those two. And then.
The Magic just waved him.
Imagine trading Solomon Hill back to Indiana and just asking for Drew's brother in return. Great. Hey, can we have Drew's brother that you just picked? We need a backup point guard. Come here.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
I know. Shit. Dang it. Crush my dream. You're over there, you pessimist.
This is the only time I've ever been considered a pessimist in my whole life, so that's funny.
He's embracing it.
So in that point then, I'll go with someone like, we'll just say Bismack Biyombo. And then, not that I really want him, but I can't really think of somebody else.
Can we buy him out?
Yeah, that would happen. and trade
Let's get Dwight.
Yeah, might as well.
No,
we'll trade Boogie for something, but I want Rodney Hood. I want to see Tyreek come back. I like Boogie. I just don't trust him coming off the Achilles, and I like Will Barton. So Will Barton, Tyreek, Rodney Hood are my additions, along with Al Jefferson, and whatever we trade Boogie for. So that would be my team. And really, I don't know what we trade Boogie for, but it'd be almost like pennies on the dollar. Like, even if he goes to Dallas, which I think is a real possibility because they've got the most cap space. They've got the most that they can offer. So it'd probably be Doug McDermott and Dwight Powell, like we were talking about earlier. So that's the team. Now you got Doug McDermott on the bench, Dwight Powell as your backup big, Will Barton, Tyreek, and Rodney Hood. I don't know if that works salary-wise, but that's what
probably
I do. So, we're going to revisit this as it unfolds during the season. Obviously, I'm terrible at salary cap management if I was in the NBA. But we're going to go ahead and put a button on this show by wrapping it up with our Man Crush Monday. Jason, did we ever get a sounder for Man Crush Monday?
Yeah, I got one for you. Hold on one second. Here's a good one.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellent.
It's the best I have right now.
That's our Man Crush
Championship.
Monday.
Yeah. So Will, this is your favorite segment. So
yep.
I'm gonna have you kick it off with your Man Crush on this Monday.
Yeah. Well, there was nearly a flawless segue from our off-season preview as we ended talking about Boogie to the Mavs. As we talked about in the NBA draft, the Dallas Mavericks selected another Eastern European player that I love, who I am convinced is a future Hall of Famer, Luka Doncic. And since I live in Dallas now, I can get to the arena in, half an hour or whatever. I'm probably going to buy like a mini pack or whatever to the Mavericks games just so I can go see Luka every couple weeks or whatever. And if he's throwing lobs to Boogie, I'll feel some kind of way. I'm not sure exactly what that way will be at the moment. But at least I'll get to revel in the excitement of seeing Luka Doncic in the NBA. So that'll be exciting. So go Luka. I'm not a Mavs fan though. I don't want anyone to think that from that.
Yeah, definitely can't tell that at all right now. Definitely not at all.
I'm a Luka fan.
Hey, you know what you should go tell Luka? This was the right sounder for Man Crush Monday.
Lick, lick, lick my balls! Yeah!
That would be a bit
far. That's what Luka said to you.
So, Jason, who's your Man Crush Monday?
My Man Crush Monday is, you know what, damn it, it's Boogie. And y'all need to give Boogie some damn love. Y'all need to just get with it because he's going to be on this damn team. And I'm going to keep saying damn so y'all get this shit straight, okay? Because Boogie's going to be on the team. And he's the only person in the last whatever, however many stats you want to do, of like 25, 10, 4, whatever stat line he had for the year. Okay. I don't even give a crap if he comes back at 75% next year. 75% of Boogie is better than just about every center in the league except for about 4. So I'd take that percentage for the first year back. And if it's a 3-year deal with option outs, every year along the way, that's good for him. He can go, whatever, because we'll have cap room. It starts clearing up after this year, especially once you get Hill out of the way. That's my Man Crush. Y'all better respect
all right,
that man.
So I'm just going to continue kind of the trend that I have going on. And, again, this is not sports-related, but it is one of my biggest passions, and that's music. 2 days ago, well, actually this past weekend, Saturday, word came that Vinnie Paul, the legendary drummer from Pantera and Damage Plan and Hell Yeah, passed away at the age of 54 due to a massive heart attack. So Pantera was one of the biggest influences on me as far as like what shaped my music interest. And to have someone that influential, that big and recognizable in the music scene, it's like another piece of like my childhood died. And it sucked, man. It was really hard for me whenever I found out. It didn't hit me as hard as Bourdain, but it hit me pretty hard. So, I know he's up there, in rock and roll heaven, jamming out with his brother Dimebag, and they're probably knocking back Black Tooth Grin and writing some killer riffs and songs and everything. But my Man Crush Monday is to Vinnie Paul.
So, man, all your heroes are passing away.
Yep, they're all my heroes are dead. So. Yeah, it sucks, man. But you live long enough to watch all the people you admire die. With that morbid thought, we are we're going to end another episode of the Rundown, and we'll see y'all next week, where we'll talk more things.
Woo!
All right, and with that...
And that's the way the news goes.